relevant to this and any of the applicant's allegations of discrimination. We want to, again, the purpose of seeking the exclusion of these documents to make this a fair, just, and expeditious hearing, make sure that the documents are relevant. In our view, this is not a relevant document. Should we just proceed by going through each one, Mr. Chair?
It would be a lot easier.
Okay.
We provided rebuttals to the matter of fact. We already provided rebuttals and why those documents are relevant.
All right.
So we should have them on file.
Michael.
And it's not just a spelling mistake, it's just comments are repeated that show lack of care.
With respect.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
With respect to what counsel has said, it is the applicant's position that the inclusion of that document, that exhibit, is extremely relevant, for the applicant was criticized in his performance evaluations with respect to grammar and spelling, while the evaluator, Constable Philman, his own documents were filled with grammatical errors. Now, the inclusion of this exhibit also assists the applicant on cross-examining Mr. Philman, who is on the respondent's witness list. So, the credence and the reliability or the relevance of that document becomes crucially important when that witness, Sean Philman, takes the stand.
Here's what I'm proposing. We're half hour or so away from the deadline. Counsel, I've read your objections to many of these documents, and I'm wondering if we couldn't deal with that at the hearing.
Sure.
What I'm more interested in at this point is I've noticed we've dealt with the will say of Harry Chase, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You've got here Exhibit 49, will say of Steve Ryan.
Yes.
I want to look at that. Again, I'm trying to...
tie its relevance to the hearing.
Yes.
I will wait after counsel provides her argument. If you have a laptop, sir, we have an e-version right in there, the CD, and could be brought right up on screen.
Sorry, I don't have one with me.
Okay.
I'm not in my office. I'm at the hearing center.
Okay. It would also be in the applicant's one of the two 4-inch thick binders, 3-ring binders of the applicant. Okay.
Thank you. the relevance of this.
Okay. Being that you've bruised yourself.
I don't see that. I'm sorry, I can explain. Well, can
no,
I?
No, okay. No. The relevance is such that the applicant's coach officer, Richard Nye, the applicant went through two coach offices. The latter part of his probation was with coach officer Richard Nye. Richard Nye makes comments in his chronological statement and accusations in a statement towards the applicant that he has been surreptitiously recording conversations. That accusation came specifically from this civilian witness who was a call, who was the complainant in a call that the applicant and his coach officer attended. This civilian saw that the applicant had a earphone, which is an extension, a earpiece, an extension of his portable radio plugged into his ear. And the applicant and the complainant made a comment that, "I know, Mike, you are recording everything." Now, it was that statement that Constable Nye, the applicant's coach officer, later upon arrival at the detachment, chastised him for surreptitiously recording things. And not until the applicant explained it to him, "All I had was this earpiece in my ear. This guy, I don't know where he's coming off with this comment. Maybe he looked at the earpiece and assumed everything's being recorded." Now, that assumption, which was clearly stated in the applicant's statement, months later upon filing the application, the applicant confronted the citizen, and the citizen recalled that incident and said, "Yeah, I said that based on looking at the earpiece in your ear." Now, the nexus over here between that citizen and the application before the tribunal is, goes towards showing the assertions that the applicant that his personal respondents were quick to jump to conclusions and a rash of judgments and to negatively document him on perceptions that were clearly wrong and can never be substantiated. That is the intention of this exhibit and bringing this witness. In the absence of bringing this witness, we, the applicant, could never hope to refute the assertion by the respondent's witness, who's on the respondent's witness list, and who's also might be named on ours, that in the absence of this civilian witness, we couldn't hope to refute that assertion of Mr. Nye.
Well, basically, I was accused of surreptitiously recording conversations, which I never did, and then I was chastised by Constable Nye for allegedly doing it. When I asked him to go and speak to that person, he told me it was ridiculous. He nearly yelled at me that I have a job, you don't have a job. And I ran into this individual accidentally in the waiting room like 6 months later and asked him, "Why did you ask me that?" He said, "Because of your earpiece." So now this evidence is furnished and the respondent's disclosure and the rebuttals explained why. There are assumptions, there are accusations that allegation against me were based on unsubstantiated and false assumptions. And that piece of evidence in part was very wrong, and it was based on probable grounds, which a police officer should trust. Should base their allegations or accusations on. It was just prejudicial view of everything that I did. So you exclude this. We don't have anything. It's like our word against their word, and they already used their word to terminate me.
Yes.
If I may, R, it's Lynette Susan.
Yeah.
Just our position is that there will say there's no nexus between what is being provided in the will say and Mr. Jack's allegations of discrimination in his application.
Well, there is nexus if you compare the 4-point chronology from September.
Yes.
It's already aligned side by side, and you see big nexus.
I'll let this pass, but frankly, I'm hard pressed to find the relevance of this. Now, this is a friend of yours?
No, nobody. Just the citizen who I ran into the gym.
And so you're going to subpoena this person to provide this?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you'll say what's written there.
The witness.
The accusations against me made it bad faith. Constantly. Bad witness refutes that one of the accusations was wrong. It cuts credibility on other accusations. So we are refuting them one at a time. And that person can testify as to why he said what he said. It was perceived by an officer who was prejudiced against me that I was doing something wrong, which I didn't.
So, again, it's Lynette D'Souza. What Mr. Ryan says is that he says, I know, Mike, you are recording everything, right, on the evening of September 23rd, 2009. That's part of his will say. And from what I understand, you want to call him to provide an explanation as to why he said that.
No, basically what's written in on his letter, that's what he's going to say. He signed, he furnished me with this, based on his recollection.
No, it's
he
more...
He has a recollection of the facial expression of my coach officer.
But, so, Michael, with all due respect, it's a little more than just what you are saying, Mrs. D'Souza. Mr. Nye, Richard Nye, has clearly articulated himself in his point from chronology where he chastises Mr. Jack and believes Mr. Jack to be surreptitiously recording things based solely on that one comment from this citizen who didn't even know Mike. Now, we happened to run into Mr. Jack, happened to run into that citizen, because they live around the same area, Smith Ennismore Lakefield. Call it a stroke of providence. He happened to run into this individual, struck him up on the conversation, and asked him if he's willing to come to the tribunal and testify to this, why he made such a comment. Yes, he provided a name and address, and he's willing to come. And I think we should be afforded that opportunity to refute Mr. Nye's assertions, false assertions in his point from chronology of Mr. Jack.
Not to mention a few cracks in the deductions, nearly yelled me in the evening. And when I met my wife, as I go to him, asked him if he said it because he thought he knew me, because he thought that he was a record of conversation. He said it's ridiculous.
Mr. Chair, have you provided a direction on this exhibit?
I'm going to let it stand. I'll determine the relevancy at the once I hear the evidence.
Thank you.
Steve Ryan. I'm trying to deal with the witnesses.
The next one would be Exhibit 71A, will say of Mr. Greco.
Okay, let me take a look at that.
Thank you.
And
I'm prepared to address that, Mr. Chair. Okay, Mr. Greco is indirectly related to this application by virtue of his position. He is a paralegal and also took out the affidavit with respect to the applicant's application. Now, Mr. Greco has since come forward to the applicant upon him filing his application, that now this is information that the applicant has no way whatsoever of finding out and even hoping to introduce at a hearing. This witness, Mr. Greco, who is a paralegal and defends a lot of provincial matters in Peterborough, being that his office is in Peterborough, has the opportunity to brush shoulders with, in the course of his professional dealings in court, with many Peterborough officers, in particularly some that are personal respondents in the application.
Sorry, just to clarify, Lynette D'Souza, there are no personal respondents in this file. It is the OPC that's a corporate respondent.
Well, when the applicant named certain individuals in his application, according to the revised rules of the tribunal, it's no longer necessary to name each of them as personal respondents. But yeah, there's his supervisor and his coach officers. That's who I mean. Okay, formally no personal respondents, but each individual named in the application represents the corporate respondent. Nonetheless, Mr. Greco has had occasions subsequent to the termination of Mr. Jack's employment to run into numerous of these individuals that have been named in the applicant's application. Some of these individuals have made comments towards him and his association with the application, namely his acting as a commissioner of votes.
Mr. Taft, I think counsel is wanting to strike out paragraph 5, 6, 7, and 10 on page 2.
Yeah, and those are extremely relevant because those paragraphs, all it does is just provide information of who these individuals are and what information they provided to him with respect to the application. The information they provided to him are crucial with respect to the applicant's allegations in the application.
I tend to agree with counsel. I don't see, paragraph 5, the potential witness himself says he's being purely speculative. Do you see that, Mr. Tapp?
1, 2, 3, 4. I have always... True, I...
Paragraph 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the second page.
On the second page.
1, 2, 3, 4. Even though my belief is correct,